Bob Hope Show. And now, here is Bob Hope.
Well, I just came back from a few days in San Francisco, and I had a wonderful time up there. I really hadn't planned on going to San Francisco, but where else can you park for the Brown Derby? I like this audience. Because of the long-time feud with Los Angeles, you know, the city of San Francisco is very particular about letting people from L.A. into town. In fact, they have a cop station at the city line checking each visitor for smog on his breath. Los Angeles may have its smog, but no place disappears like San Francisco when that fog rolls in. As a matter of fact, during the fog, a bus pulled in from Los Angeles and a DC-6 got off. But San Francisco is a wonderful town. The people in San Francisco are very clothes conscious, too. You can't even get in line at the unemployment office unless you're wearing a cummerbund. That's the thing that goes on. Even the panhandlers take pride in their appearance. One bum asked me for a quarter so he could have his hat blocked. First time I've ever seen a burlap Hamburg. And everybody was mistaking me for the soup chef. People kept calling me Chowderhead. But they do have wonderful seafood up there. I ate so much salmon that I jumped off the Golden Gate Bridge and started to swim upstream. And, of course, we rode on the cable cars up in San Francisco. You should see those little cars going up and down a steep hill on the end of a cable. You get the feeling that you're riding on a 14-passenger yo-yo. And those cable cars bounce around so much that they have a sign saying, hang on around curves. I tried it and got my face slapped twice. No, you know, it's so hilly. It's so hilly in San Francisco that it's the only place in the world where the parking meters read tilt. We had a wonderful time there. We took the boat ride around the famous Alcatraz prison. I'm not saying that one inmate was trying to escape disguised as a fish, but it's the first time I ever saw a flounder with a number on his back.
This may have been a normal week for a lot of people, but it's really been hectic for Bob. It all started the other morning when I went over to his house with a piece of startling news. Bob! Bob, where are you?
In here.
Hey, hi, Rob. I rushed right over here. I've got some fantastic news for you. I just heard a Hollywood news broadcast. Bing is going to make another road picture, and you're not going to be in it. He's going to make the picture without you.
Oh, you're kidding.
No. Bing says in this picture he's going to cut out the dead weight.
Crosby's a fine one to talk. My weight isn't any deader than his.
Well, I thought you'd be surprised, Bob.
I don't understand Bing's attitude. What could a road picture possibly be without me? Why, it would be sheer. It would be sheer...
Sheer entertainment?
Yeah. You have a 10-year contract, but it can be canceled at the end of any 15-minute period. I'll get a bill.
Hi, Bob.
Well, Margaret Whiting, come on in.
Hello, Maggie.
Bob, I just dropped in to talk about the music we're going to do on the... Say, what are you two looking so excited about?
Bing Crosby's going to make a road picture and he's leaving me out of it.
No.
That's right.
Well, rush me a Tutti Frutti Sunday, my world is shattered.
You don't seem to realize what's going on, Maggie. This is a big double cross.
Oh, that's silly, Bob. You and Bing ought to be the best of friends. I don't think he means you any harm.
You're right. After all, Bing's just an eccentric old man.
Lord. He certainly is. That's why you two should get along. Bob, what's all the fuss? So what if Bing is making a road picture without me?
The important thing is, what are you going to do about it, Bob?
I don't know.
There's only one thing you can do, Bob. Get out and produce your own road picture. Beat him to it.
But that would be a whole new thing. I've never done that before.
That's the thing to do, Bob. Get out and produce your own road picture.
Well, you make it sound easy. Do you know how much money it takes? $1 million.
Well, so what? Somewhere there must be a rich old miser crouching on his money bags who'd park with $1 million.
We're back to Bing again.
Bob, the bank will lend money to an independent producer to make a picture if they know him.
That's a good idea. I think I'll run down to the bank. I know the president, Mr. Harkins. Can I come in, Mr. Harkins?
Well, well, Bob Hope. Step right in and have a chair.
Oh, thank you.
Pardon me. Miss Jones, Bob Hope is in my office. Shut off my phones and make sure we're not interrupting. Now, Bob, what brings you to the bank today? Is your milk bottle full of pennies again?
No, no, Mr. Harkins. I've got something important on my mind. I've got to have $1 million right away.
What?
Say, why are you moving your feet around like that?
I can't find the alarm button under this carpet. I'm sorry, Bob. Exactly what is your proposition?
Well, I want the money to produce a picture on my own.
I always try to judge the man I'm doing business with by his character. Take you, for instance.
What about me?
A good reputation? An honest face? A clean, straightforward look in your eye? I wish you had them.
You didn't talk like this when you were whining and dining me every night, trying to get me into your Christmas club.
Now, Bob, let's not have words. We've been friends for years. You may be a big star, but I remember when you...
Yeah, that was quite a while ago. Yeah. How about $1 million? Do I get it or don't I?
No, I'm sorry, Bob. The answer is no. I've got to turn you down. If there were another star in this picture with you, someone like Lana Turner, Cary Grant, Jimmy Stewart, we might go for the proposition.
You mean I've got to have an important name in my picture?
Oh, yes. We couldn't consider the deal otherwise.
Oh, thanks a lot. See you later, Mr. Harkins.
Goodbye, Bob.
Boy, the bank is crowded today. Oh, pardon me. Can I squeeze through here? Oh, thank you.
Oh, Bob.
Huh? Oh, Jimmy Stewart. Oh. Say, nice to see you, Jimmy. What are you doing in the bank?
Oh, I came to deposit some money, Bob. My milk bottle's full of pennies again.
Well, Jimmy, it's wonderful bumping into you like this.
Well, same here, Bob.
You know, you and Gloria haven't been out to our house in a long time.
Well, you and Dolores haven't been out to our place in a couple of years, huh?
That's right, Jim. Why don't we arrange something?
Well, what for? We can't improve on the arrangement we have now. It's awful nice to see you, Bob. Well, what brings you to town today?
Oh, I came in to borrow $1 million.
My gosh, $1,000. Well, that's a lot of money.
Now I'm afraid to tell him what I really said. I'm trying to produce my own picture, and I want the bank to finance it. If everything works out, I'll amortize $1 million on short-term notes. Am I boring you?
Oh, no, no. I like to come to town and hear this big talk.
I wired a couple of big money men in the East, and they're flying out to have a conference with me, and we're going to survey MGM and Paramount and rent a few studios. Have you been doing anything exciting, Jimmy?
Oh, yeah. Yesterday, the washing machine overflowed, and I chased my underwear clear down the driveway.
You know, Jimmy, the bank requires that I have another star in this picture with me.
They do, huh?
We can't talk about the picture here. Why don't you come over to my radio show tonight? We'll talk about it.
Oh, fine, Bob.
You know, making an independent picture is a fine investment. I'm sure we could do all right, and of course, we'll cut up some nice profits.
Well, when it comes to business, I'm just a babe in arms, Bob.
A babe in arms?
Yeah, Well, for instance, who would get the other 50% of the profits?
You mean after my half?
No, after mine.
What did you tease on, Fort Knox? Here's Miss Maggie Whiting.
And yours truly, doing a little number that we did on television in Thule, Greenland. Make yourself comfortable with Les Brown. Make yourself comfortable.
make yourself comfortable.
Make yourself comfortable, baby.
I've got some records here to put you
make
in the mood.
Make yourself comfortable.
The phone is off the hook, so no
make
one can intrude. I feel romantic, and the
make
record changes automatic, baby.
Sweetheart, we've hurried through the dinner, hurried through the dance, left before the picture show was through. Why did we hurry through the dinner, hurry through the dance?
To leave some time for this, hug a hug and kiss a kiss, and take off your shoesies, dear, and loosen up your tie. I've got some kisses here, let's try
make
one on for size. I'll turn the lights slow while you make yourself comfortable, baby.
Sweetheart, we've hurried through the dinner, hurried through the dance, left before the picture show was through. Why did we hurry through the dinner, hurry through the dance?
To leave some time for this, to hug a hug and kiss a kiss, and take off your shoesies, dear, and loosen
make
up your tie. I've got some kisses here, let's try
make
one on for size. I'll turn the light slow while you make yourself comfortable, baby.
With a special guest from the studio audience, Bob Hope.
How are you, William B.?
Very well, sir.
How tall are you, Bill?
I'm 6'4", sir.
6'4".
Yes, sir.
Stand up straight, you fool. Hey, how you fix for oxygen, all right? What do you hear from the control tower? I can't tell how happy I am to have you on the show. I just lost three chins looking at this guy. Where are you from, Bill?
I'm from Seattle, Washington, sir.
Are you from Seattle?
Yes, sir.
How did you, what did you... Call me Shorty. Be very careful. I'll give you a stiff right to the kneecap. I wish they had a balcony in this studio. Somebody throw up a basketball. Don't stand there. Say, what can I do for you, Bill?
Well, I've got a problem, Bob.
You have?
Yes, sir.
You haven't seen anybody lately? What's your problem, Bill?
Well, I'm going to get married.
You are?
I don't know whether to get married formal or informal. I don't know whether to get married in my uniform or I don't know whether to get married by rags.
I don't think you have much choice. What do you think, when you met the girls, you have your uniform on?
No, I didn't, Bob.
Oh, you didn't have your uniform?
No, I didn't.
I see. You're wearing civilian clothes?
Yes, I was.
What does she think about you in the uniform?
Well, I haven't heard from her since I've gotten the uniform.
I mean, it's not going to be a military wedding.
Well, I don't know.
I think if she likes you in the uniform, I think you ought to get married in the uniform. That's the way I feel about it. And how do you look in street clothes? You
well,
don't really. Now, how do you look in street clothes?
Well, I look pretty good. I just look like you, Bob.
You look like me? Wear the uniform, Bill. Thank you very much. Bill Adamson, huh? Nice to see you. Say,
Kimmy.
Yeah, Bob.
I just phoned Mr. Harkins, the president of the bank, and asked him to come over. We can do a scene from my road picture for him. It's going to be a Western.
You know, I don't think I should have come down here tonight, Bob. This is all so different for me.
Oh, don't be silly. I've heard you on a lot of radio programs. You've always been great.
Yeah, well, thanks, Bob, but on those programs that you were talking about,
yeah.
I always worked with actors. I didn't, no offense, Bob, but I meant actors doing serious stuff.
Jimmy, I can be as serious as anybody.
Yeah, you've been doing fine so far.
Critic. How can he look like Abraham Lincoln and do lines like Milton Berle? Now, Jimmy, in this scene we're going to do, you and I will play the male parts, and Margaret Whiting will be the girl. All set, Maggie?
Sure, Bob. Gee, it's going to be a pleasure to work with Jimmy. He's made so many wonderful pictures.
Well, thank you, Maggie. I've had my share of luck.
You know, it's strange you've been making pictures in Hollywood all these years, and yet you've never made one with Bob.
I guess I've had more than my share of luck. Of course, Bob and I have been friends for a long time. I know when I moved out here to Hollywood, I guess Bob was one of the first people I met.
That must have been quite a while ago.
Hey. Yes, yes. It was, Bob wasn't a star in those days.
Well, there wasn't much in it. I hardly made taxi fare from washroom to washroom.
I think it's wonderful that two friends like you are finally going to work together in a picture.
Well, now, I haven't made up my mind yet, Maggie. I don't want to rush into this thing.
Well, what's the matter, Jimmy?
Well, you know what can happen to your career in Hollywood if you make a flop picture.
Well, what?
Well, it's goodbye, that's all. Today you're at Ciro's drinking wine. Tomorrow you're up at Fresno crushing the grapes.
Crushing the grapes. Oh, that couldn't possibly happen, could it, Maggie?
You tell him, Purplefoot.
Believe me, there's nothing to worry about, Jimmy. We both had experience making pictures.
That's true. That's true.
Have you ever had anything to do with independent productions?
Well, in a way, Gloria and I have twins.
Hey, that must be Mr. Harkins from the bank. Come in.
Hello, Bob. As soon as I got your message, I came right over.
Oh, fine, Mr. Harkins. This is Maggie Whiting and Jimmy Stewart.
Miss Whiting.
Oh, honey, glad Stewart. To see you. Fine, thank you. See, we're a little short actors, so I just thought I'd... set to do a scene from the road picture for you, Mr. Harkins.
Oh, splendid, splendid.
Oh, just call me Purple, but it's nothing. Why don't you just take a seat, Mr. Harkins, and we'll run through the scene for you.
Okay, Bob.
Music, Les.
And now we present a story of two strong men and a girl in the Old West. The road to Cactus Gulch.
I'm one of the many mentioned, folks. They call me Tex. I'm an outlaw, always been again a law. A man like me doesn't have many friends, only got one buddy in this whole world. My pal, Smokey Jim, back there in Cactus Gulch.
That's me! Smokey Jim. But I ain't an outlaw no more. When Tex went away, I turned straight. 5 years ago, the people of this here town made me their sheriff. Well, I'm so proud of the star they give me, it's never been off my chest since. Of course, I'm getting kind of sick sleeping on my back. I'm a respected citizen, Cactus Gulch. Even got myself a gal, Maggie Lou. Mighty pretty heifer.
You're playing the guitar kind of sad today, Smokey.
I got a feeling of foreboding. There's something in the air.
What is it?
I don't know. I don't know, but everything's so still. The leaves are hanging down on the trees, and I look over yonder at the mountains over there. Even the Pecos is pooped.
With you, Smokey.
I don't know. I don't, it's just a feeling I got. When I come riding over this morning, there was a couple of dead men lying in front of the saloon. Door was blown off the bank. The schoolhouse was on fire. I just don't know. Can't put my finger on it, but there's something wrong in this town. Whoa!
Why? Look who it is. It's your old buddy.
Yeah, that's him. Hello, Tex.
Hello, Dobie.
That's Smokey.
Oh.
I'm the sheriff of this here town, and I've cleaned up the town.
You cleaned up Cactus Gulch?
Yeah, I caught the last crook yesterday. I put him in jail and sent his fingers to Washington.
You sent his fingers to Washington?
No, I had to. Ain't no one around here can take fingerprints.
Well, I ain't afraid of no tin horn sheriff.
Hey, what's that?
That's a super chief.
But there ain't any railroad tracks out in the desert.
I know. The sound effects man had it left over from last week.
Once more, get on your horse and get.
Yeah, leave us be, Tex. Smokey here is trying to go straight, so leave him alone.
Well, you're a cute little Palomina. You're prettier than a coyote skin hanging on a bunkhouse wall.
This here's my gal, Tex.
Yes, Tex and I are fixing to get married. Old Judge Fisher's going to let us have a cottage over by the Mill Creek. The other side is Spoon River, where Indian Head Mountain juts out and hides the entrance to Moon Valley down back of the Payta Desert.
Yes, sir, we're going to be mighty happy in that house, if we could ever find it.
Well, what is it, Mr. Hawkins?
I think I've heard enough to make my decision, Bob. I'm going to lend you the $1 million for your picture.
Yes?
But there's just one thing.
Yeah, what is that?
I don't think we'll need both you and Jimmy Stewart in the picture. From what I've seen tonight, I know now that one of you is a fine first-rate actor and the other is nothing at all. So, the other man is out.
Oh, gee, poor Jimmy. How am I going to break the news to him?
It won't be necessary, Bob. You're the one who's out.